Hey, everybody, what is immigration and what is going on with immigration in our country? Pretty comprehensive episode on immigration, and we dive into it. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show to allow us to continue to take unfiltered, uncensored, and courageous takes, please consider doing that at charliekirk.com/support. charliekirk.com/support is where you are able to get behind the work we are doing to help grow, flourish, and strengthen every single day. charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com, where we play offense with a sense of urgency to win the American culture war. If you're a high school or college student, start a Turning Point USA chapter today at tpusa.com. TPUSA chapters are focused on educating the next generation around constitutional values and American exceptionalism. tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172 or andrewandtodd.com. So let's get into this. Immigration. What is immigration? Well, immigration is the movement of a person or a people from one nation to the other. Now, there is an incantation that is repeated by the American ruling class, where they say we are a nation of immigrants. Now, that is partially true, but there is a difference between being an immigrant and a settler. An immigrant is someone who comes to a nation that is largely already built to contribute to something that has already been designed and exists. A settler is someone who comes to a largely barren land. I'm not saying there was nothing here when the pilgrims came, but it was a largely barren land and started something new that used ideas that they were close to, that used principles that they were familiar with, and implemented them and built something unique, exceptional. So there's differences between settlers and immigrants. We are told that we are nothing more than a nation of immigrants, but I think that also de-emphasizes and also dilutes the incredible impact of the founding fathers who decided to create new things. So immigration, in its purest sense, needs to always benefit the mother country. Immigration should not be an opportunity to try and pursue some sort of racial or social justice agenda. Immigration should not be something that you do to make yourself feel good. Immigration must benefit the society as a whole. And in America's history, immigration at times has done that and at times has not done that. A fair and honest look at immigration in American history has showed that certain immigrant groups from certain countries have been a phenomenal net benefit to the American project, where other immigrant groups have, I would say, been at tension and at odds with the American creed, such as the influx of Somali immigrants in Minneapolis with Ilhan Omar. Now, I think it's really important as we look at this story, we look at this issue, I should say, that we understand that immigration is an issue of consent. So if you listen to this program, you'll hear me kind of rattle off a series of characteristics that are unique to the American constitutional order: separation of powers, independent judiciary, checks and balances, and consent of the governed. Those are four things. They're not an exhaustive list, but if you're dealing in constitutionalism, those four things must exist in some fashion or form. Powers must be separate. You must have a check and balance. You must have a judiciary that is independent, and then you must have the most important part, the consent of the governed. This idea of consent is something that we have decided to stop focusing on. You see, consent is something that we all participate in every single day. The best example of consent I can think of that would relate to every listener is consent in the marketplace. When you go to a grocery store or you go buy a product, you are both consenting to the transfer of goods and services for paper bills or for cryptocurrency or whatever. You are making a trade. That is inherently a consent transfer. Now, when markets do not have consent baked into them, that's when we as conservatives believe that it's necessary to intervene in the market. For example, when the Sackler family develops a type of opioid that people do not know is going to make them addicted and possibly kill them, that is a violation of the consent principle. When parents are forced to give vaccines to their children without knowing any of the possible adverse events or some of the other issues, that is a violation of the consent principle. So consent is when both parties agree to participate in something. We can call this voluntary exchange. There's a lot of libertarian literature around this, and honestly, it's not all wrong. Some of it is actually really thoughtful and deep, and it is largely true. I just think at times they don't look at some of the externalities that could potentially arise when you think everyone is always informed just because trade occurs. So consent is an incredibly important part of immigration policy. So no one in their right mind would say that the slaves or the black slaves that came to the United States immigrated here. They were kidnapped and they were trafficked here. That was not immigration. That was an immoral act of an evil act against someone's consent and against their will of transporting a certain people across the ocean for a very specific economic purpose. That was only one party consent. The only people that consented to that were the slave traffickers and the plantation owners. And at the time, the society that allowed it to happen through its laws until Thomas Jefferson in 1807, I sometimes say 1803, but it was 1807, signed the moratorium of new slaves coming into the United States. That broke apart that horrific importation of individuals. So that was one party consent. But we also have another part of one party consent, mass immigration or mass flow of people that is happening in real time. And it's not as evil as what happened with slavery, but it is still immoral. When a Honduran or a Nicaraguan or a Mexican or El Salvadorian or a Panamanian walks across the southern border without the states or without the government or without the people's or without the country's consent, that is a one-party consent rule. Both are bad. Both are immoral and both contribute to the downfall of your civilization. When we kidnap slaves out of West Africa, or when we tolerate people flowing into our country, both are a deterioration of the basic contract of what immigration needs to be. Now, if you look at the history of American immigration, there is a lot of revisionism that occurs. Some people believe that we have always allowed as many people to come into the country at any time whatsoever. That is not true. The history of American immigration is a lot more complex and nuanced than that. At times when we accepted mass amounts of immigrants, kind of similar to when you eat a big meal, you need to allow that meal to digest. So after the famous Ellis Island or the famous Statue of Liberty, at times we allowed the immigration population to do something that is the most important part of immigration. It's one word, assimilate. If you do not allow assimilation, then whatever immigration policy that you are putting forward, whatever immigration policy you are articulating is foolish, it's backwards, and it could be detrimental to your nation and to your home. So if you look at the immigration rates in America throughout the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, in the 1950s, it took a dramatic decline. America decided to take a basic pause, if you will, of mass immigration. Now, we all know about the waves of immigration in the early 1900s, and we all know about the waves of immigration in the 1920s, but we rarely ever talk about the troughs. We rarely ever talk about how during America's greatest period of prosperity in the 1950s and early 1960s, when the middle class was the strongest, when wages were going up, when crime was at its relative lowest, when America became an industrial manufacturing beacon, did you know, relative to other previous decades, that's when American immigration was at its lowest. Now, partially, it's because it allowed us to absorb the massive amount of American immigrants the last 30 to 40 years, and that's when we had the baby boom. So I'm just beginning to touch the surface on this topic of immigration, because there is something happening right now in the news in our country when it comes to immigration that violates the consent principle, it violates the assimilation principle, it violates every single fundamental, logical, common sense, and rational perspective that we must have when it comes to immigration. Vaccines have not eliminated the Chinese Fauci coronavirus, so we all need extra protection for our immune systems. My very good friend at Centurion Labs have combined five key ingredients to defend your immune system against allergies, colds, the flu, and even the coronavirus. It's called Centurion Defender and incorporates vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, copper, quercetin in just one capsule. No more swallowing 10 pills a day or taking supplements because the individual cost is too high. I'm currently taking one Defender with breakfast and one Defender with dinner and just keep living my life. As you know, I'm a big believer in getting vitamin D levels up. Just like the centurions of Rome led by example and held themselves to the highest possible standards, Centurion Labs, they've dedicated the last 15 years to research and develop safe, effective, and affordable healthcare products made in America that you can trust. For a limited time, listeners of The Charlie Kirk Show can save 20% off their first order at Centurion Defender when you visit CenturionLabs.com/Kirk and use the promo code Kirk. Defend your health today with Centurion Defender. That's CenturionLabs.com/Kirk, promo code Kirk. CenturionLabs.com/Kirk, promo code Kirk. Get your D levels up today. So we look at immigration, we should have a mature and prudent take when it comes to how we design immigration policy. It's really funny. In years past, it used to be the Democrat Party that used to be concerned that mass immigration was cutting the wages of their white working class base. That used to be a Democrat base. Now it's not. They have turned their back on that base. Those Democrats are now strong Republicans, largely thanks to the pro-labor contribution of Donald Trump and his restrictionist view on immigration. Now, you should be able to have this conversation about immigration without being called someone who is trying to be a xenophobe or close off your borders or whatever, even though I'd love to close off our borders, but they mean that metaphorically. Instead, it should always come from a perspective of what is best for the nation as a whole, what's best for the society, what's best for your grandchildren's future. Now, there is a difference, though, between immigration and border jumping and an invasion, and I do not want to conflate the two. Just as slavery was not immigration to the United States, a Honduran border jumping across the southern border is not an immigrant to the United States. One is kidnapping and one is an invasion. One is just trespassing. You could use any word you want. Trespassing, you could use infiltrating, which I think is a little aggressive until you hear the story that we have about a legitimate terrorist who has just been released into the United States. No exaggeration. The FBI even didn't want him into the United States. We'll talk about it in a second. So with all of that kind of background into what is immigration and how should we view it, I want to play this tape from the great Bill Malusian, who is a reporter for Fox News. He has been incredible in just fact-first, bold reporting on the flow of illegals into our country. So listen to Cut 97, Bill Malusian talking about how the federal government is having illegals board airplanes privately and flying them to the interior of the United States. Play Cut 97.
This is in August, and what you're looking at is police body cam video of a chartered government flight landing in the middle of the night at the airport there with that flight full of illegal immigrants who get off and go on buses. Well, that police officer is supposed to be security there, and he starts talking to these federal contractors asking essentially what the heck is going on here, and those contractors tell him they're basically trying to sweep this under the rug and keep it out of the spotlight. Take a listen.
You don't want to be somewhere where the spotlight is here. You want to try to keep it down low as possible. A lot of this is just...
No, I get it. I just, like I said...
stuff that we don't tell people. Because what we don't want to do is attract attention. We don't want the media.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know where we're going when they tell us.
We don't even know where they're going. We want to kind of keep this quiet. So this is worse than just someone walking into your country. This is worse than someone trespassing into your home. This is the government of the United States that is sponsoring, subsidizing, and even underwriting the transportation of those people that have illegally entered into your country. And so where does this come into the consent principle? When you look at the very basic principle of movement of people, but then your own government that is sworn to defend you, that is sworn to protect your country, they then turn around and they say, well, if you illegally come into the country, we're going to sponsor you to go to New York or anywhere in the interior of the United States without even telling you about it. Where the federal contractors who are the ones behind this are even admitting, we really don't want people to know about this. This is not something that we want to get out. You see, they say this is because of restorative justice. But their view of justice is not giving to each man what is their due, which is the classical view of justice, that is the framer's view of justice. The version of justice that they embrace is to take and prefer foreigners over citizens, lawbreakers over people that follow the law. They prefer people that burn down Wendy's than to small business owners that own a cobbler shop or a coffee shop. Those people are only embracing a white supremacist patriarchal orthodoxy. You see, the reason why they allow and they want the nonstop flow of people from foreign countries is every single new person does a couple things. Makes it less likely to have a national American identity, makes it less likely to be able to have assimilation happen, and finally, is it chips away at the thing they hate the most, the rule of law. Look, a lot of people are worried right now, and you should be. There's inflation, there's crime everywhere, and people are talking about a major economic collapse. I'm worried about it. I'm not saying it's going to happen for sure, but I'm definitely worried about it. Are you prepared for the worst? What are you going to do if there's an EMP? Do you know what an EMP is? Google it. Electromagnetic pulse. No electricity. Stuck at home. You are 9 meals away from anarchy. 9 meals. And guess what? After 6 meals, people start to get really anxious. They might start coming to your home looking for food. Are you prepared? Do you have the emergency food you can rely on no matter what happens or when? Look, I am an unapologetic prepper. People can make fun of it. They scoff at it. My family will be well fed when things fall apart. I urge you right now to get the 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply. They're the nation's largest emergency food company. They've served millions of your fellow Americans over the last 15 years. And they have 48,000 4-star and 5-star reviews from satisfied customers. I got their product stashed away next to my ammunition and my gold. Right now, save $50 on their 4-week emergency food kit, which gives you breakfast, lunch, dinner, drinks, and snacks totaling over 2,000 calories a day. The food stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. It'll be there when you need it. You know, people laugh at preppers. Have you read 20th century history? Do you know what happened in Cambodia, the Soviet Union, Italy, Germany, China? Yeah, things fall apart. Yes, that is a book that many 7th graders read. But also, things do fall apart. Second law of thermodynamics, the inevitable law of decay. Are you prepared? Go to preparewithkirk.com. That's preparewithkirk.com. Take out your phone. Go to preparewithkirk.com right now and save $50 per kit per person. Act now and your order will ship quickly and arrive discreetly at your door in unmarked boxes. That's preparewithkirk.com, preparewithkirk.com. Cut 55, federal government mass releasing single adult migrants, almost all men, at a parking garage in Brownsville. So we're told these are children, these are women. Nope, they're all men, actually. Fighting age. Into your country. Play Cut 55. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men just getting off buses. No women, no children. Cut 98, Bill Malusian continues to build out this story. Play cut 98.
And speaking of releases of illegal immigrants, take a look at this video we shot at San Antonio Airport this morning, where we got a tip that ICE was going to be dropping off a busload of single adult male illegal immigrants. That's exactly what we saw. You can see dozens of those men being released by ICE there. No families, no little children, no women. All men. There was an NGO there waiting to greet them. That NGO then took them into the airport in a single file line, and they are now free to travel across the country wherever they want to go. An ICE source tells me these discreet mass releases have been happening since last year. And that source also told me that ICE is releasing illegal immigrants who have criminal records for misdemeanors. Some of those misdemeanors include assault, drunk driving, illegal reentry, and drug possession. I reached out to ICE this morning to ask if that's true. They did not deny it. They only told me they released these migrants on a case-by-case basis. That ICE source went on to tell me they feel the agency has been turned into a travel booking agency rather than an immigration enforcement agency. We'll send it back to you.
Travel booking. So if you are a U.S. citizen, could you use some travel booking? I never knew that Immigration, Customs, and Enforcement would be known as Expedia, where we will be able to bring you to any American city of your liking if you cross into our country illegally. 2,033,863. 2,033,863. 178,840. What are those two numbers? The total number of illegal crossings into the America that we know of are 2 million people, 33,863. The latest data from just December is 178,840 people that have come into our country. Reading from the Washington Examiner, just over half of these people were returned to Mexico, but approximately 1 million people remain arrested, and almost all were let into the country with just a promise that they would one day report to an immigration court and apply for asylum. So let me tell you how significant this is. Effectively, we just let a whole state of Montana into the country. Just cut in line, do what you want, go as you please. Washington Examiner writes, "These are the only numbers of illegal immigrants who were actually caught. That does not count the gotaways. With Border Patrol agents tied up feeding, transporting, and processing tens of thousands of migrants, making meritless asylum claims every month, untold numbers have slipped into the country completely undetected." Now, these people are willing to defy the rule of law. They're criminals. They're not migrants. These are not the downtrodden. And by the way, this is what really frustrates me about the framing of all this. We just got an email about this at freedom@charliekirk.com, which I have a lot of respect for Catholics. I obviously have my own differences with Catholic theology and teaching. Obviously, I'm not a Catholic, but some of my closest friends are Catholic, and I think really highly of them. And I think there's a lot there that's positive, including Jack Posobiec and many others. But this document from a local Catholic church that was emailed to us, all about how we need to have more immigrants come across the southern border, how this is a positive. We need to celebrate with them. We need to be companions on their journey. If you look deeper into it, the Catholic Church, and not the Catholic Church, but a lot of Catholic charities have been instrumental in subsidizing and helping and sponsoring the flow of illegals into our country. It's not just them. It's NGOs. It's Soros groups as well. I'm not picking on Catholics. It's just true, though. It's just part of the reality that we're living in. And the framing of all this is that we have to be tolerant enough to accept it. Well, what about the young girls that are raped coming across the southern border, which is a frequent occurrence? What about the guns that flow in through our open and porous southern border? What's been so interesting to witness is that in a country that is so wealthy, that has so much access to technology, how unable we are to solve some of our most basic problems. We have trains being looted in Los Angeles like it's 1835. Union Pacific is considering leaving California altogether because of the train looting that is happening. All the while, the man who's supposed to be in charge of our infrastructure, Mayor Pete Buttigieg, with a $1.2 trillion slush fund given to him mostly by Republicans, by the way. Not mostly, but thanks to Republican support. We have bridges. He's doing nothing. We have bridges collapsing in Pittsburgh ahead of Joe Biden's visit. People can't find workers anymore to do the most basic things. I want to read you this right here from a local supermarket chain in Arizona. It's called Bash's. You know Bash's, Connor? They do a nice job. It's a typical middle class kind of grocery store. I go there a lot. Due to continued and increasing staffing challenges across the industry, this Bash's meat department will be closing today at the time indicated below, 4 p.m. For full service questions or inquiries, please visit the customer service desk and speak with the manager on duty. This is happening all across the country. Labor shortages, raw material shortages, expertise shortages. I can't tell you how many people are getting flights delayed, flights rediverted, fuel shortages. It's almost like the country is descending quickly into the third world. And this is an important thing, is that it's not a matter of technology. It's not a matter of the ability to be able to process information. We have the resources, we have the technology, we have the money, we have the intellectual capital, but we do not have two things. We do not have the will, and we do not have politicians with the wisdom to be able to get these very basic things done. What's so interesting is that when you start talking nonstop on television about systemic racism and vaccine rates of children, and you can't do the very, like the most basic things, I don't know, like feed your population and keep the trains running without them getting looted by bandits, then you probably have to reprioritize what you care about. I've called for quite some time, and so has Connor and Andrew, what we call the American triage. We need to look at America as if we're running an emergency room. Who's the gunshot victim, and who's the person who has the common cold who we can get to in a couple hours? Instead, we do the exact opposite. If we were running the emergency room, we would have the person who has like psychological trauma be like, okay, you're to the front of the line. Yeah, the person who's giving birth, who's having a heart attack and just chopped their right arm off, will get to you in a couple months. It's the opposite of how any sort of organization, outfit, or enterprise would run anything when there is crises at hand. But don't worry, the main priority of the regime is equity. And look, I believe this is all by design. It's all by design. The deeper you dive into the Great Reset agenda, the deeper you dive into the agenda to try and deteriorate our borders, to erode our currency, to debase our purchasing power, to deindustrialize the country, it becomes increasingly difficult to think this is all just acts of randomness. You know, people say, well, Charlie, they're really bad at running government. I agree with that. I do. But there's also this kind of, we're going to let it burn because we think the ashes are better than the structures. That we think that once there is nothing, we'll be able to rebuild it in our image. And to quote one of my favorite movies, The Dark Knight, there are some people that just want to watch the world burn and rule over the ashes. And I could go by component, but when you have 2 million people, 2,033,863 people in 1 year and 178,840 migrants arrested illegally crossing into the border, you got to ask yourself, do you even at that time still have a country? And I want to just focus on the rule of law really quick. The rule of law is a Western value. It's not the rule of a king or the rule of a tribe or the rule of how things used to be. The rule of law is very unique. That's why on this program, we always bring it back to the Constitution. The Constitution is the great unifying document. Now, the reason is because the Constitution takes very clear stances on human nature, on who we are, how we will act, how we have acted, and you design a construct or a compact around those truths, understanding that a small yet strong government is necessary for human flourishing. Now, the rule of law is unique because it is unchanging. The rule of law is unique because it's public. People can see the rules. They can say, okay, I can do that and I can't do that. But a rule of a fiat king or the rule of a serf is something completely and totally different. It's not public. It's not unchanging. Rules that are constantly changing is a characteristic of a tyranny. Rules that do not change is a characteristic of a stable society. Now, that's to say that certain rules shouldn't change or that you should have a process to change them. But for example, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, have not been changed. Why? It's because human nature has not changed since then and now, and it gives people the comfort to be able to plan their lives, to be able to know what's going to happen tomorrow, to know the natural rights that have been given to them by God, not by government, but are protected by government. It's a big deal. But when things are constantly changing, or if the rules are kept in private, or if the rules are unequally enforced, such as a Honduran gets a private flight to New York, but if you're a 9-year-old black girl in New York and you're not vaccinated, the New York Police Department is going to arrest you and detain you. So let me get this straight. You're a 9-year-old black girl in New York. You get arrested and detained. But if you are a terrorist, which we're going to cover that story in the final segment, you get free entry into the United States. Did they check his vaccination record? The rule of law is all that separates us from savages. And they're currently shredding it. Look, it's a new year and not much has changed. We have inflation. Houses are selling in a week, interest rates are at zero, and our government is still borrowing money, well, actually printing money. $5 trillion in new money, to be exact. What could go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hits a 10-year low, inflation 6.8%, even higher in certain places, 10%, 12% in other places. Something is not adding up. So what can you do? Well, you can play it safe. Put some of your assets into precious metals, will keep your money away from volatility of the markets, and will let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about for once. How refreshing would that be? Call us at 877-646-5347 or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Venezuelan national on FBI's terror watch list released into Michigan after crossing the border. I want you to think about this. So a Venezuelan national on the FBI terror watch list has just recently been released into Michigan after crossing the border. Michigan investigative journalist Charlie LaDuff told Fox News on Thursday that a Lebanese-born Venezuelan national listed on the terror watch list was released into the United States after crossing the border illegally. So I don't know if we have that story or not, but that sound. Michigan investigative journalist Charlie LaDuff told Fox News on Thursday that a Lebanese-born – we just mentioned that. Bozzi got word that, quote, the Biden – administration had given asylum to Venezuelans. He and his daughter and his wife flew to Monterrey, Mexico, hire a smuggler and get rafted over into Brownsville, Texas, and wants asylum. He's not only on the terror watch list, it came back to high derogatory information affiliated with the unspecified group. But why did the American government release him? They released him because he was a high COVID risk. So terrorists that illegally come into our country, I don't know if he legally or illegally came into the country, all of a sudden get released into the interior if they're a high COVID risk. Did we find his vaccine papers? Was he vaccinated? Was he properly wearing his masks? No, this is a foreigner on the terror watch list that is now prancing throughout the United States. U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents arrested two other men on the FBI terror watch list last year as they tried to cross into the U.S. southern border. The men, ages 33 and 26, were from Yemen and were apprehended in El Centro, California sector. Former Border Patrol Chief Rodney Scott has repeatedly sounded the alarm over the number of migrants identified on the terror screening database coming across the border, telling fellow agents that it was at a level we have never seen before. They view justice as trying to harm your country and redefine Western civilization to give preference to the alleged disadvantaged and minority groups that they believe are victims of white supremacy. We believe, Mr. Briggs, We're going to have a conversation after this. We believe justice is giving everyone what is their due. Justice, we are told, should be blind. That's what we were told growing up. They believe justice should be partial. Social justice, racial justice, environmental justice. The rule of law is the centerpiece of a decent and civil society. And they're trying to erode it. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts. As always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.